He is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. So that's the image many of us grew up with, right? The image of the Good Shepherd. And of course, in first century Israel, and even today, you will see shepherds with their sheep grazing along the hillside. But sometimes I wonder if in this 21st century in America, if we might need a little different image, an updated image of Jesus' love and care. Maybe instead of a lamb, we could use a... they're not on their toes back there. A kitten. Aw, isn't he sweet? I mean, people like to hold and pet kittens. They love to watch kitten videos, right? I'm just really kidding. It just crossed my mind this week. So I thought it'd be kind of funny to have Jesus petting a kitten, but anyway. So, I do think, though, in some ways we may have over-sentimentalized the idea of the Good Shepherd taking care of us. Yes, he does protect the sheep. He does watch over them, and he does certainly love them. But he also gives them a poke once in a while to keep them on the right path, right? Have you ever had a good shepherd yourself in your own life? Someone who maybe guided and led you in the faith? Could be someone like a grandparent or a pastor or maybe a Sunday school teacher. I know I had one. Her name was Mrs. Shrum, and she was my fourth grade Sunday school teacher. And I remember two things about Mrs. Shrum. The first one was that she would paint the girls' fingernails before class. So we, you know, we all came to Sunday school, so we'd get our fingernails painted. we would have been there anyway. But that was just really kind of her to do that. And then the second thing I remember is seeing her in church. We had an old church with big balconies that went the length of the church. And I remember you could see her up there praising God during worship. And she would just look to the heavens, and she almost looked like she was in heaven. And that was just such a good mentor and role model for me, to see this woman who just took such joy in the Lord and shared it. We loved Mrs. Shrum. Throughout the Old Testament, the image of the shepherd and sheep is the image of the relationship between God and God's people. And even when the Israelites wanted a king, and God finally said they could have a king like the other countries, God was still in charge. The king was seen to be as a servant of God, and God was still the shepherd. Moses and David were both shepherds, of course, and the dangers of shepherds were well known. In 1 Samuel 17, David talks to King Saul about striking down lions and bears who threatened the sheep. This image was also used for the relationship between the priest of the people and God's people. So when Jesus equates himself with the Good Shepherd in our lesson today, he doesn't put the Good Shepherd up in opposition to a bad shepherd, but rather, he says, the good shepherd is the opposite of the hireling, or the hired hand. And the difference is in the relationship that the good shepherd has with the sheep. The hireling, or employee, simply doesn't have the kind of investment in the welfare of the sheep. So, the hireling looks out for himself first. He flees when there is danger, rather than standing by the sheep. And the people of Jesus' time clearly got what he was saying, because the Pharisees were standing right there as he said it. So Jesus warns to be on the lookout for those who seem to be offering a lot, but who in reality are only looking out for themselves. He flees when if we do not want to be led astray, we need to listen to Jesus' voice. and no other. Which brings us to the second part of Jesus' illustration. The good shepherd knows the sheep. He knows them just as intimately as Jesus' Father, God, knows him. You see, back in the time of Jesus, the shepherds didn't have a barn to take their sheep back to at night. Instead, they had a sheepfold out in the fields. And a sheepfold basically was rocks piled up. You kind of make a fence out of rocks. If you've ever been to Connecticut, you see a lot of rock fences. And so this sheepfold was made out of these rocks. And on any given hill, there were several shepherds there. And at night, they all brought their sheep back to the same sheepfold, and they went in together. Well, that created a problem, because in the morning, you had to figure out whose sheep was whose to take back out. And the shepherds had a solution to that. They each had a unique call for their sheep. And even today in Israel, you hear some of these different calls. And, you know, one shepherd might have a whistle or something, and they come to him, his sheep come to him, and another shepherd might have a different kind of call, and they would come to that shepherd. So that, you know, would sort them out. These shepherds spent all day and all night with their sheep. They knew them very well. They even named some of them. And the sheep trusted them, and they knew which one to follow. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. What makes him good? He lays down his life for the sheep. And the Greek word used there is not just life, zoe, but it is psuche, from which we get the word psychology. So he lays down himself, his whole self. His identity and who he is in this sacrifice, this laying down of himself. And remember the sheepfold? Well, you had the rocks coming down each side, around the back, and then there would be an opening right here in the middle, kind of a doorway. And once the sheep were in, the shepherd actually laid down at night across that doorway. And so if any predators came, if a wolf attacked, they had to first come to that shepherd and attack him first before they would get to the sheep. He is not a hired hand who seeks to run away from danger. The good shepherd has an investment in us in that he died for us and rose again. No man has greater love than this, Jesus says in John 15, in that he lays down his life for his friends. And ironically, it's the good shepherd who becomes the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Well, we all long for this loving shepherd who guides us and tenderly keeps us, who protects us and knows us well. And we all need his healing. The word pastor comes from the Latin word for shepherd. People have high expectations for pastors. They feel like a pastor should be there at times of trouble, maybe when someone's critically ill or dying. I have no problem with that. The pastor needs to know their congregants, but that does not mean that the pastor can read their minds. The pastor needs to lead, but can only lead if the people follow. As a shepherd, the pastor needs to gather the congregants as best he or she can. Ever try to herd cats? But for most of us, and I'm sure for Pastor David as well, we don't go as far as laying down our lives for the sheep Exactly. There is really only one good shepherd, and that good shepherd is Jesus. When I need a time of rest and green pastures, a place that I know, I go to a place that I know that where I can receive healthy food and a place where I can go and get some exercise and walk. I take a retreat to a place called Gethsemane Monastery. It's a Trappist monastery in Kentucky. And I had the opportunity to go there the week after Easter this year. Thank you. And get some refreshment. And it is there in the silence that I can hear the shepherd's voice. Through scripture and prayer, and sometimes the words of the psalms as the monks sing them, I am able to hear that I am loved and accepted and human, and that I am not any different than anyone else with my wants, worries, hopes, and needs. I recognize again that by God's grace, that God already knows everything about me, probably in a deeper way than I know it myself or can even process it. God is kind of like a parent who is not surprised by what you discover about yourself, who knew it all along, and who loves you, not in spite of it, but because of it. Because it makes you a unique child of God, whom he calls by name. We all need time to take time to nurture our relationship with the Good Shepherd. And by being known, we come to know the one who loves us more than anyone else, who lays down his very life for us. And we are invited into a new relationship that calls us to love others just as Jesus loves us. A relationship that calls us to give this love away and to share it. As St. John writes in our first lesson, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and in action. We have an opportunity before us today with Family Promise that Kate spoke about. And I really encourage everyone to come to the adult forum today to hear a little more about that program. We have, as a congregation, a history of housing people, people all over the world. And I'm wondering if it could be the Good Shepherd's voice inviting us to house some people right here in our own backyard. It's not as glamorous as traveling all over the world, but it is maybe perhaps the same shepherd's love that's involved in it. Well, finally, I heard a story about a young writer who went to an editor with some poems he had written, and hoping, you know, of course, that he could get them published. And he told the editor that they were love poems. The editor questioned the writer. Well, he said, "What is love? Tell me about it." And the writer replied, "Love," said the young man, "is gazing upon a lily pad at night by the shimmering moonbeams, when the lilies are in full bloom and the air is fragrant and..." Wait, stop a minute, said the editor. "You're all wrong. You're very wrong. I will tell you what love is. It's getting up cheerfully from a warm bed on a cold winter night at 2 a.m. to heat the milk for your baby. It is preparing a meal for a family when the mother is sick and the children are hungry. He went on to say, real love is doing something for somebody at some inconvenience to ourselves. Real love, I might add, frees us to love others and to invite others into Jesus' fold. It means leaving space to follow the victory of the resurrection. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.